Welcome back to the OU Daily Tehillim and Physics phone call. This is Naftali Herman from the Orthodox Union. Thank you so much for joining today's program and for making it a part of your day on Thursday, the third day of the month of Kislev. I'd like to thank my good friend and colleague, Rabbi Phil Karish, for filling in for me yesterday. It is good to be back together with all of you. Thank you to our wonderful and generous sponsors, in particular the Schwartz family, for their continued support and whose names are prominently listed in the daily OU Tehillim email to sponsor future programs. We greatly appreciate everyone's support. Please visit ou.org/call. That's ou.org/call. Please note that the deadline to submit a sponsorship for tomorrow's program is today at 5 p.m. Eastern Time. On behalf of the OU, it is my distinct honor to introduce Rabbi Dov Winston of the Young Israel of Merrick in Merrick, New York, to share Divrei Chizik. She will be immediately followed by Rabbi Winston slowly reciting our three daily chapters of Tehillim, Perek Chaf Gimel, Kuf Chaf Aleph, and Kuf Lamed. Those are chapters 23, 121, and 130. There's a link for that in the email as well. And it'll be followed by the Mishaberach L'Cholim and Achinu. We will conclude the call with a brief conversation with Rabbi Winston to learn more about his wonderful community in Long Island. Please stay tuned afterwards for information regarding tomorrow's speaker, Bechavod, with great honor, Rabbi Winston.
Thank you so much, Naftali, and also to my friend Yehuda Friedman at the OU for having me on this very special call today. And just a general thank you to the OU as well for everything that they have done and continue to do in these times that are highly unusual, and a final thank you to everyone out there listening today, and especially to those of you who have been listening for the past several months. It's really fantastic to be here today. Today is also a very special day for me and my family, because today our youngest daughter actually turns 8 months. And throughout this pandemic, my daughter's age has been the best indicator for our family to sort of keep tabs on just how long we've been in this. And she was actually born 8 months ago at the beginning of all of this. Today, as she turns 8 months, it's sort of surreal and almost impossible for me to wrap my head around the fact that we've been living in this reality for so long. And, you know, Baruch Hashem, thank God, there does appear to be a light at the end of this tunnel, but I don't think that any of us would have truly believed that come Kislev, come Hanukkah time, that we'd still be here when we first heard about this around Purim time just last year. Nonetheless, I think that the month of Kislev just has a great deal to teach us about the time that we are living in now. The B'nai Yisraschar, Rabbi Tzvi Elimelech Spira Medinov, records a very mystical idea that each of the 12 tribes of Israel are somehow connected to the 12 months on the Jewish calendar year. And then in particular, the month of Kislev is associated with the tribe and the brother of Binyamin, the youngest of Yaakov Avinu, Jacob, our forefathers' sons. Interestingly, Binyamin is the most different from all the rest of the sons of Yaakov because he was the youngest, and there was just simply a great deal that he didn't experience that the other brothers did. And actually, Rabbi Shamshon Rafal Hirsch quotes from the Sifri that there were three main differences between Binyamin's upbringing in life than those of the rest of the brothers. He says, number one, that Binyamin was the only son of Yaakov that was born in Israel. We don't really think about that quite often, but that was number one. He's the only son born in Israel. Number two, that he was the only son who did not treat Yosef poorly. He was the only one that wasn't involved in the sale of Yosef that all the other brothers evidently took part in. And number three, says Rabbi Hirsch, he was the only brother who cared for Yaakov, all of their father, that he was the only one who cared for Yaakov in his old age. And perhaps even more interestingly, the Medrash in Esther Rabbah actually points out that there was an additional difference between Binyamin and the rest of his brothers, and that is, as we'll read soon in the coming weeks, of the reunion that Yaakov has with his brother Esau after over 20 years of being separated. When the entire family meets Esav once again, they all bow down to him upon their greeting, except for Binyamin, of course, because he was actually not born yet. And this is actually the explanation given from Mordechai in the story of Purim, and I know we're nearing Hanukkah, but bear with me for just a moment as we speak about Purim for a second. When Mordechai doesn't bow down to Haman, the reason he gives is that his ancestor, Mordechai, coming from the tribe of Binyamin, Mordechai says that my ancestor didn't bow down to Esau. And therefore, he argues, why should I, a descendant of Binyamin, bow down to a descendant of Esau? And with all of these four differences in mind between Binyamin and the rest of the brothers, of the sons of Yaakov Avinu, I'd like to suggest perhaps one additional perspective as to what actually made Binyamin so great and different from all of the other brothers. And I believe that it could be found in the blessing that Moshe Rabbeinu gives the tribe of Binyamin at the end of our Torah in Parshas Vezot HaBracha. You see, the Torah says, as Moshe gives the blessing, the Binyamin Amar Yidid Hashem. Of Binyamin it is said, says Moshe, that you are the beloved of God. Binyamin is the only one of the brothers, amazingly, to be given the title of a Yidid, of a beloved of Hashem. Now the question is, what is it about Binyamin that makes him so beloved? And I would say, perhaps similarly inspired by what Rabbi Hirsch said above, as we quoted earlier, that maybe it was specifically because Binyamin was the brother who never had a single argument of record with any of the other brothers. It's fascinating. Binyamin is the one who gets along not just with every single brother, but he gets along with the entire family. It's almost unseen from any character in all of Sefer Bereishis, from the entire first book of the Torah, to get along with the entire family. And Binyamin seems to be the first who does just that. Binyamin was the one brother that was able to bring all of the brothers together, and in so doing, perhaps that's actually why he merits to be called this Yidid, the beloved. And I'd actually argue that that's why the Beis HaMikdash, our holy temple, is built in the territory of Binyamin, as our rabbis teach us, because since Binyamin was the one who brought all of the brothers together, therefore who more fitting to host all of the descendants of the brothers when all Jews come to visit the temple in Israel, then Binyamin and his descendants themselves, who have been bringing the family together for centuries. And therefore, maybe we can say that the entire month of Kislev is actually about internalizing this Yidid, this beloved status of Binyamin, that he was beloved by God because of the fact that he brought everyone together. And that we too should sort of strive to be these Yididim, to be these beloved ones, trying to bring everyone together, to unify, particularly, the dark times that we're living in right now. And Rabbi Soloveitchik even explains that Hanukkah, he says the same with Purim, but we'll focus specifically on Hanukkah for now. He says, to quote, Hanukkah manifests not human aloneness, but the unity of the individual and the community. That on Hanukkah we come with a specific purpose of being festive, that we're coming to say hallel together and celebrate with simcha, with joy, particularly to do this with other people. That is the spirit of the day. But then you ask me, if that's true, if Kislev is connected to Binyamin and therefore it's about bringing everyone together, and that Hanukkah is about being together and celebrating with family, with friends, and with good food, then what in the world are we supposed to do this year when gathering outside of our bubble units is just something that we can't do? How do we celebrate this wonderful time of year in the times of COVID? And I think, truth be told, that the answer goes to the root of what Hanukkah is all about. Because Hanukkah is a holiday on which we know that our physical lives were not at stake, rather it was our spiritual lives. And perhaps that's the secret, that it's our spirit, it's our Yididei Nefashot, our beloved souls, that need to come together and celebrate. And we know that although it might be easier, perhaps, in person to connect to one another, one does not need to be physically next to someone in order to feel their virtual or their emotional and spiritual presence. And since we can't all celebrate and be together this year physically in one room, let's all strive to connect more and to love more, to celebrate galore in our Zoom Hanukkah parties and in our FaceTime Hanukkah parties, and to make this a time during which we can build even stronger, deeper, and perhaps even more meaningful connections with others, because now, unlike perhaps other years, we actually have the time to pick up the phone. We have a little more time to make that call and have that meaningful conversation with that person that we've been meaning to speak to for so long and that we just keep forgetting, or something comes up. Now is the time, and COVID has allowed us that opportunity. May we be blessed with a kiss wave of spiritually uniting as a nation. And in so doing, may we merit the end of this pandemic and the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash, the Holy Temple, in the portion of Binyamin, who is the beloved of Hashem, as we ourselves recognize that we are Yedidim, that we are the beloved of Hashem, constantly trying to come closer to one another. We'll continue now with the three paragraphs of Tehillim, starting with Perek Chaf Gimel, chapter 23. Mizmor le David, Adonai Ruhi Lorecha, Ben Osashi Yarbitini, Amei Menucho Sinali, Nafshi Shavid, Yanchini Vemagli Tzedek, Liman Shemu, Gam Kielech, Tegev Soma Vesloi Lorecha, כי אתה עמדי, שפתך ומשנתך עם העין החמוני. תרוך לפני שולחן, נגד סורבי, תשעת בשם אנושי כוסי לביה. אך טוב בחסד ירפוי כל ימי חיי, ושבתי בבית אדוני ויורך ימים. Perek Kuf Chaf Aleph, chapter 121. Shir la malos esayin ayel harim, me'ayin yevel ezri. Ezri me'im Adonai, osay shamayim v'yare. Al yitein amot haglecha, al yonum shomrecha. Hinei lo yonum v'lo yishan shomei Yisrael. Adonai shomrecha, Adonai tzilcha yad yiminecha. Yomam asham leshon yateka, yareach balayla. Adonai yishmarcha mikora, yishmor et nashecha. Adonai yishmar tzivcha v'lecha, me'atav yad olam. In the final chapter, Perek Kuf Lamed, chapter 130. Shir ha-malos mi-ma-makim kira-sicha Adonai. Adonai shemam koli, tiyazachata shavuz l'kol techanunai. Im avonos tishmayach Adonai, mi ya'amod. Kim chas licha l'ma'ar t'ilerei. Kibisi Adonai kivta nafshi. Continue now with the Mishnah Berurah for all those who are ill. Mishnah Berurah Avosinu Abraham Yitzchak Yaakov. Moshe Aaron David Shlomo, who is a reich rabbi as a cholum as a cholos. Babor, Shinis Palim, Babu Ram, the Swarzer, Kadash Bayahu, Malay Rahman Malayhem, Maklimar, Morakosam, Lakhikam, Lakhayosam, Yishlachan, Mehira, Rafush Lima, Nashamayim, Ramachibarehem, Oshasaki Behem, the Sokshako Israel, Rafus and Ethish Rafu Sabu, Hashtag Bagalab Makariz, no Marame. Achino Kobis Israel, and assume that's all we should go. Ha'umdim bin bayam ubin bayabasha, ha'makom rachem alayhem, miyotim mitzara virbacha, u'miyafila miyura,
Thank you so much, Rabbi Winston. As we transition into the next segment of our call, first and foremost, how are you, your family, and the community doing?
Thank God. We're doing okay. You know, as we say, we're healthy and safe, and that's all we can ask for in these times. And, you know, thank God that the community is, it's amazing. The simultaneous, I think, resilience and the strength and the unity of our community coming together in these times has been so inspiring that, you know, we wish that we never would have experienced a pandemic like this, but what it did bring out in people has just been incredible and inspiring to see.
That's great to hear, and there's always a silver lining, really, to everything. Yeah. So to get us started, for our listeners who may not be as familiar with your community, would it be possible to give us a brief overview of the shul and the community in general?
Yeah, sure. Thanks for asking. So my shul, the Young Israel of Merrick, it's a very special place. It's on Long Island, and I grew up on Long Island, and I always say that I personally never really wanted to live in New York or in the tri-state area when I was younger. It was something that I had always planned on moving out of. And we actually had left for a while. We were somewhere in one of the southern states in America, but we came back here, and it was specifically only a place like this that was able to draw us in, because it just has this out-of-town feel, this very special, warm connection that you feel with everyone. It's like the kind of place where every single person is valued and cared about. And, you know, you don't really get lost in the shuffle. It's just a really wonderful place to live and to raise a family. And, you know, I would say that both before and during the pandemic, it's amazing just how many classes and how many programs and how many things are just going on for people of all ages. There's just always something to do. And, you know, we launched this growth campaign, this Move to Merrick campaign, specifically because we are trying to grow our community, and because we, all of us, believe that Merrick just has something to offer everyone. You know, we have all the regular amenities. We have an Erev, we have kosher food, we have a beautiful brand new mikvah. It's one of the most beautiful, if I do say so myself, in the tri-state area. And we're also just so close and accessible to the city. We're 40 minutes to the city on the Long Island Railroad. So it's really just an incredible shul and a beautiful community to be a part of. And if anyone listening is interested, or you may know someone who is interested, please feel free to contact me after. We'd be happy to arrange for you to make some sort of a social distance visit, and then, God willing, a normal visit when this pandemic is over.
Have you had any families move in during the pandemic?
So, yes, we have had a few families that have started to move in. An incredible amount of interest has been out there. I've received several calls on a regular basis just from couples, like all of us have been hearing, who want to get out of the cities or the apartments and just want to move to a more suburban life. So there is some traction, and we're excited, God willing, for what the future holds for this campaign.
Amazing. So what motivated you and drove you to go into the rabbinate, to become a pulpit rabbi, whether it was initially thinking it would be off of Long Island in the South, or now back to the roots and being on Long Island itself? Give us the backstory.
So when I grew up as part of my family was observant. But I was a bit of a rebel. I left Judaism entirely for a number of years. And I went to high school on Long Island in a place called DRS, that maybe some of those listeners out there have heard of. And I had incredible rebbeim. One in particular, this rebbe who I had in 10th and 11th grade, made an enormous impact on me, and he is a large part of the reason of why I am religious today, if not the main reason why I'm religious today. And ultimately, when I was deciding what I wanted to do with my life, I sort of looked back on my past experiences, and I said, well, how do I become anything like this person who cared about me so deeply and who took such an investment in me? And so the choice was clear that I had to become a rabbi because I wanted to be like this person. And then the pulpit and becoming a shul rabbi, that sort of just became an obvious outgrowth for me in terms of what I believe my best way to impact others. So that's the long story short, as they say.
Wow. That's very, very special. And I hope you've let that high school rabbi know what an inspiration he was for you. I think it's so important, even years later, whether it was a teacher, a rabbi, a mentor, a neighbor, someone who influenced and impacted our lives, to let them know the impact and the influence that they had on us even years later. So that's truly an incredible story. And our last question for you, Rabbi Winston, is with the world changing so much due to the pandemic, and we see so many changes, whether the obvious and superficial ones, quote unquote, the social distancing and the mask wearing, to the online platforms of Zoom and being able to access so much. But my question, I think, is a little bit deeper than that, is that what communal changes do you anticipate for your shul, the Young Israel of Marek, and perhaps the broader Jewish community, as we try to look forward towards a hopefully very soon post-COVID-19 world?
You know, it's so interesting. I've heard a lot of different opinions out there from colleagues and from friends about what the world will look like once, God willing, this is all over. Been here at the Aminu. And I heard so much cynicism out there about, no one's going to come back to shul. People are just not going to be as connected anymore. And I personally like to take a much more optimistic approach. I think that, God willing, once we're told by the powers that be that we can come back and we can we don't have to wear masks and we don't have to social distance and we can actually come back in full force, I think that people are going to come back in droves unlike we've ever seen. That's my personal opinion. I do think that there are probably going to be a few changes and a few shifts in terms of how we used to do things. Number one, I think back to all the kiddushes that we used to have. We had these beautiful Simcha kiddushes in particular in my shul. And, we had this small packed room with lots of delicious food and lots of people, everyone on top of each other. And, just because of the way that our minds have been trained to think these days with, the air particles in the air, I just imagine the scene of all of us sort of standing over that delicious chulent, and we have the kishka and all this delicious, chulent in our plate, and we're all sort of talking on top of each other and just inevitably spitting in each other's food. And I do feel like
that's how you get hurt. That's how you get herd immunity. It's right there.
Right. So I do feel like that the hygiene, the hygienic level of how we run our kiddushim and serve food will change. And I also think that Shabbos morning services are going to change, that, it's not going to be the 3-hour production that it once was. And I think that they'll probably get a little bit longer once we all start feeling more comfortable, including all the parts of tefillah back in. But I think that we're going to be a lot more calculated and concerned with the time that we spend and every single minute, making every moment meaningful in our morning davenings and not have as much downtime maybe as we once had. So I think those are a few changes, but God willing, I'm really hopeful that we should have a beautiful return and everyone will come back in droves once all this is behind us soon, God willing.
And please, God, and I certainly appreciate your perspective. I think we always need to look how to be as optimistic and hopeful as we look towards the future. Really, there's no space, there's no place to go into that negativity and the pessimism. It doesn't really take us anywhere. So, Rabbi Winston, we want to thank you so much for being on the call today and for providing us with a picture of your wonderful community that you shared just a moment ago. If anyone's interested and wants more information, they can feel free to be in touch with you. They can go to the Young Israel's website. They can certainly be in touch with me, and I will connect them. As they are with all of Klal Yisrael of the entire world, our thoughts and our tefillot, our prayers are with you and your community for continued bracha, success, growth, and good health. We hope and pray that all of our collective efforts for safety, strength, and refuah for all of those in need will be answered with tova for good, and may the Ribono Sheolam, the Master of the World, please speedily bring an end to these days of concern and uncertainty. Please join us again tomorrow, Friday, Erev Shabbos Kodesh at 1 p.m. Eastern Time for words of inspiration from Rabbi Michael Pavlis of Congregation Zichron Mordechai in Teaneck, New Jersey. With hearts full of faith, stay strong, hopeful, and optimistic. Wishing everyone a wonderful, healthy, and safe day.